As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
Welcome to the NBA Daily Ding on The Athletic NBA Show.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
I like that idea.
Welcome to the Daily Ding. I'm your host, Andrew Schlecht. With me tonight, it's my good friend Mark Schindler. Mark, what an insane night in the NBA.
Yeah, I have no idea how to quantify each night. It feels like every night we have some historic performance or, you know, somebody going off for 60, a certain guy tonight going off for 71. And it just, every night brings another added layer of like, what the hell? Like, in a good way. I mean, it's something that we'll have to talk about on a you know, a bigger, more long form pod. But like, I mean, it's not the defenses have gotten worse. It's just we're seeing like 15 guys all have the best seasons of their careers at the same time, and it's wild, man. But it's also a joy to watch.
Tonight was unbelievable. We're gonna start in Cleveland, where Donovan Mitchell sets a Cavs franchise single-game scoring record, 71 points. He joins Devin Booker, Wilt Chamberlain, David Robinson, Elgin Baylor, David Thompson, and Kobe Bryant as players that have scored 70 or more points. The last time that somebody scored 70 points or more was Devin Booker in 2017. Before that, Kobe Bryant in the 05-06 season. I just want to make sure that this is not like glossed over in any way whatsoever. Somebody scoring 70 points or more is historic. It does not happen every season. It doesn't even happen every five seasons. This is something that happens very, very rarely in the NBA. So this should be, I mean, this should be lauded. This should be something that's talked about for weeks as Donovan Mitchell just absolutely explodes. It deserves its own celebration. Quarter by quarter, it was just insane. First quarter, he scored 5 points. The Cavs got off to a really slow start in this one. The Bulls looked great early on, and they continued to battle back. Second quarter, he scored 11. Third quarter, 24. Fourth quarter, 18. And then in overtime, 13 points. In the second half alone, Mitchell was 42-6-8. He was 20 of 25 from the free throw line. He could have been 21 of 25, but Mitchell intentionally missed his final free throw of regulation. He flew in, and I don't even know how he did this. He flew in and grabbed it. It looked like Robin Lopez was actually about to block this shot as it was about to go in, and it goes in to tie the game at 130. Just an unbelievable performance from Donovan Mitchell and the Cavs, a big-time victory. He continued to praise his teammates after he got doused in water and then was interviewed after the game. But just an incredible performance by him. Tonight was just wild. Just overall, you have Mitchell with 71, Klay Thompson with 54, DeRozan in that same game with 44, LeBron James with 43, Joel Embiid with 42, Luka with 39. Just an insane night. And the most insane game of the night has to go to the Hawks-Warriors. So let's move on to San Francisco, where the Warriors win a double OT thriller, 143-141. Kevon Looney is the hero, and a deserved hero. He's apparently just one of the greatest guys in this Warriors locker room. Good for him. He tips in the game-winning shot at the buzzer in double overtime. Mark, what a ridiculous basketball game.
Yeah, this was a crazy one to watch, man. So many things to parse through and break down from this one. I mean, first things first with Klay Thompson. This was his second highest scoring game of his career, if I remember correctly. 21 of 39 from the field, 10 of 21 from three. And it wasn't just the scoring, it was the way he was doing it. Like, this is the, I mean, it goes without saying, this is the best that he's looked since he's come back from injury.
Yeah. And 60 points in December of 2016 was his career high. But it was in 2016. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, that feels like a lifetime ago comparatively. But, I mean, just the way that he was moving, not that he hasn't looked good moving of late, but this was just, I mean, it was, you could tell it was a special game pretty early on in this one for him. The way that it was starting to click, obviously, I mean, Golden State got out to a pretty massive lead by the end of the first half. Yeah. I honestly was ready to turn this one off, and then the Hawks end up making a pretty sizable comeback as the game goes on. This ends up going to OT. Like, Jordan Poole had good moments early on in the game, and then his shot selection really struggled as the game went on. To be fair, Golden State is down, you know, like half their freaking rotation today. Yeah. So they needed him to take 30 shots to an extent, but it was rough sledding for him down the stretch. I mean, the shot making, or I should say the offensive process down the stretch for both teams ended up just being, well, hopefully we make something off of a putback or in transition, because nobody was really getting anything going. Trey was drawing free throws, and that was kind of it for the Hawks' offense as things bogged down. Golden State's defense was solid. I don't think that either side really played a particularly great defensive game. Dante DiVincenzo, like, steadily climbing up the all-time rankings of most important Warriors role players. Like, he hits that game-tying three to send it to overtime. After having an absolutely massive play, it seems like it was just like two or three nights ago, to help seal the Warriors win as well. And like you mentioned too, I mean, Kevon Looney, they out-rebounded the Hawks. Final total was 69-53 on the glass. 13 extra offensive rebounds, especially with Clint Capella out. I mean, Onyeka Okongwu did a lot of really good things in this game, but they struggled mightily on putbacks and second chance points. And it wasn't just the, okay, getting something easy at the rim. It was, okay, it felt like half of Clay's threes came off of relocation because Kevon Looney got an offensive rebound. So this was a huge game from the Warriors, from what it could have been, and especially too when you think about what this means for Atlanta. Pretty tough.
Yeah. It was wild the way that even DiVincenzo got that ball, because it was not intended for him. Clay shoots it from the opposite corner, foot on the line, not even a three. They needed a three to tie. Clay misses it, and the Warriors got to be thankful that he missed that one. Ball hits Jordan Poole, who is trying to do whatever he can to get his own shot, gets his shot blocked, and the ball just kind of squirts out over to DiVincenzo. Did you see Clay? Clay was over there by DiVincenzo, literally holding his hands out, like, pass him the ball. He is wide open.
Yeah, just straight up pointing at him.
The ball gets to DiVincenzo, and he swishes the three. That was insane. The first overtime was kind of a tough watch, because it was really just kind of a free throw show from Trae Young to get that game tied up there at the end of the first overtime. But the second overtime was, like, just wild. There was another sequence that kind of felt similar to that one at the end of regulation, where the ball ends up hitting Draymond Green wide open, where they're just like, they can't generate offense. Like, it's either some kind of pull up J, or somebody's missing, or the ball is just like frantically moving around, and it hits Draymond Green, and he hits a three for only his 21st three of the season in over 30 games. But he hits it. I mean, that was a pretty heroic moment there for Draymond, and then which led to the ultimate heroic moment there for Kevon Looney. But I kind of give Trae Young a little trouble, because all he did was he got to the free throw line a bunch. He had a really tough floater down the stretch to tie that game right before Kevon had that tip in. Trey battled, man. Like, he really battled in this one. You could tell that he really wanted this one. And that it looked like a really tough loss for the Hawks.
Yeah. I mean, this felt, saying backbreaking maybe feels like a little much, but especially with all of the, reporting from Shams Charania, just in general about things that have been going on with Atlanta, some of the awkwardness with where they're at with their coach right now. This doesn't feel great.
No.
I mean, like you mentioned too, DeJounte Murray hit that massive three late too.
Yep.
And especially, I mean, I think it was a pull-up. It was his only three of the game. There were a lot of big moments for them, but kind of, I mean, outside of Bogdan Bogdanović, they really couldn't get anything going from their bench. And similar, I mean, Golden State was in the same boat too. Both teams may as well have only played six guys the way that it ended up shaking out.
Yeah. The Warriors move up to ninth in the Western Conference after winning this one. I mean, they've hit a stretch where they've kind of stabilized a little bit after losing Steph. They've won five in a row. They really, really needed to get this win too. They need to keep this ship afloat as long as they can with Steph out. And then you look over and the Hawks are not in great shape. They're also in ninth in the Eastern Conference, but are at 17-20. And in danger. I mean, they're right there with the Raptors and the Bulls and the Wizards are all kind of lurking there. And there's no guarantee there's going to be a good team or a team that thinks that they're good that's not going to make even the play-in in the East. So that's certainly something to watch for.
100%.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
The Clippers battle back, but the Heat are too much in this one in the fourth quarter. They win 110-100. Bam Adebayo, just unbelievable in this one, 31-13. The Sixers and Joel Embiid just casually dominate the Pelicans, 120-111. Man, Joel Embiid is just a joy to watch, 42-11. The way that he just glides to the rim at times at his size is just unbelievable. Another guy that just barrels his way to the rim and was looking amazing in this one. Like, this game looked like it was going to be an all-timer until Zion got hurt there at the end of the third. With a hamstring injury. Hopefully Zion gets well soon. The Lakers beat the Hornets. LeBron James pours in 43-11-6. On a normal night, 43-11-6 would be the line of the night. This one isn't even close, but the Lakers swat the Hornets in this one in a much-needed win for the Lakers. The Pacers pull away late and beat the Raptors 122-114. Ben Mathurin with 21 points off the bench. The unbeatable Nets dominate the very beatable Spurs 139-103. Kyrie Irving had one of the most insane, maybe even improbable, putback dunks in this one. Mark, did you see this putback dunk from Kyrie?
Oh, that was one of the best putbacks, just dunks in general this season.
Yeah.
It was a really good dunk, but also I think that's one of the most unexpected dunks I've ever seen.
Like, I had to rewind it before four or five times. I was like, are we sure that was Kyrie that did that?
Yeah, I was like, oh wait, that happened? Like that? I mean, exactly. Like he got up.
He did.
It wasn't just like a little, one of the two-handed basic packages from 2K. Like that was pretty legit.
The Mavs fight back after being down 18 to the Houston Rockets and win 111-106. Luka Doncic with 39, 12, and 8. The struggling Wolves get back on track against the Nuggets, winning 124-111. Ant Edwards was just amazing in this one, 29, 10, and 5. The Blazers score 80 points combined in the second and third quarters and blow out the Pistons 135-106. Jeremy Grant with a big night, scoring 36 points on 17 field goal attempts. What a night from Jeremy Grant. And finally, I'm sure the Suns are happy. This game happened in the middle of the day, overshadowed by some pretty incredible college football games, because, sheesh, this was a bad one. The Knicks beat the Suns 102-83. Julius Randle just manhandling the Suns with 28 points, 16 rebounds, and 6 assists. No Suns player scored over 12 points in this one. And in fact, the team only scored 11 points in the first quarter. Just a brutal, brutal game from the Phoenix Suns. Just a absolutely wild day in the NBA. Anything from those games, Mark, that stuck out to you?
Phoenix definitely needs the reset button. I think that goes without saying. Like, obviously, you can't go without mentioning that Devin Booker is out and he's going to be out for the foreseeable future. But I think that's almost as equally as problematic as the loss was, man. Like, when you see what the loss was, and then chalk up the fact, like, yeah, they're 2-9 without Devin Booker this season. And that feels right. And it definitely has you worried. I mean, they're creeping really close to 500, with how their season has started to go. So I'm interested to see what they can do to clean some things up. Cause obviously they're not going to lose a game like that every night, but, they've definitely had some worrying ones over the last couple weeks.
Yep. That's going to do it for today's show. Before we go, just want to make sure that we mentioned prayers up for DeMar Hamlin, and just a scary night in the NFL. We should pray that he is okay. That is going to do it for today's show. Go listen to Tampering, which is up next. And Mark, send us out.
Ding, ding, y'all.